Welcome to this week's podcast of Kicking It With Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. Hey, Cindy, take it away.
Welcome to Kicking It With Kidneys, a forum to discuss important topics for historically suppressed voices within communities of color. In our first episode of season two, Dr. Richard Johnson, director of the Booker T. Washington Initiative, provided our audience with key information about the political process in American government and the challenges that community of color will need to address in order to obtain equitable and fair political representation. He explained how politics plays an important role in healthcare because it determines the provider, the service, the cost, and sometimes the chance of survival, especially in communities of color. What he shared with us was a real eye-opener. As I previously stated, we are simply not prepared to meet the challenge of the New World Order. But we can be, with continued education and commitment to know better and do better. All right, well, our KIWK team is back in the house. We have BJ Simone, Maria Jimenez, and of course, Rita Williams. So BJ, what is the word on the street?
Hello, everyone. Today's Word on the Street segment reflects concerns many have regarding health insurance coverage. We'll hear about the benefits of having health insurance and the comfort and security it brings, and how not having it brings anxiety and worry. We'll also hear from one couple that shows even with health insurance, if you don't have knowledge about how the system works and good advocacy, you still might not be safe. So let's listen.
That if that were to hit in my community, a lot of us don't have insurance. Where do we go?
Just a show of hands, has anyone around the table ever worried about whether you could pay a medical bill?
I'm actually working in healthcare and can't afford to pay it. That's not right. How, you know, can you come to this, go and be a help to other people, and then when you need the help, it's not available for you, or if it is available, it's hard to come by. So no, that isn't fair.
Well, the ACA has brought health insurance to around 20 million Americans since 2013. And that includes around 4 million Latino adults and around 600,000 Latino children. You know, the statistics aside, we know what this means, right? In real terms, it means that parents can now take their children to a pediatrician instead of having to rely on the emergency department. Or folks can get access to preventive services rather than wait till they get sick, right, to get care. And so, so many millions more Americans now have the peace of mind that comes with having health insurance, especially Latinos.
Most of the balance bills I'd heard about, you know, still are questionable if they're right or not, but are in the realm of a few hundred or a few thousand dollars. And our balance bill now is up to $500,000, more than $500,000. And so, to me, that's clearly just so wrong. It seems unethical. So I guess I didn't realize before this how extreme the situation could be, and that there seems to be very little recourse in what we can do about it.
The center called us and let us know that essentially there had been a change in our bill, and we would be considered an in-network patient. And the bill was essentially erased. All we will owe is our deductible, and we believe we've actually already paid that.
For them to turn that quick, like the day it came out on the news, was pretty shocking. I think, you know, a lot of people commented, well, what about their bills? You know, and I feel just as bad for everybody who's going through this on whatever level it is.
My feeling is that something really should be done on a more global scale. So it shouldn't just be our story or the story of a few other people. It should be something that we as a society take on and decide that that's just not really okay to have happen.
The topic of our discussion today: your healthcare benefits and what that means to you. Once again, you're probably asking yourself, what does healthcare insurance have to do with my kidneys? Well, Norma Davis and Stephanie Martinez will provide that much needed clarity as they walk us through what can sometimes be a complicated and frustrating process. Norma Davis is an insurance collection specialist manager, an expert on the subject matter. For the past 38 years, she has identified and resolved patients' billing complaints, appeals, negotiated medical insurance contracts, tracked financial data as an employer's advocate. She's been very instrumental in overturning denials for that much needed medical service and provided statistical information that has provided clarity for managed care, thereby resolving issues between provider and payer. Norma's colleague, Stephanie Martinez, is a 10-year veteran in medical billing and collections. She told me that she spends an enormous amount of her time smoothing out physical, mental, and emotional bumps encountered by patients dealing with insurance companies. So we're so happy to have you guys on the show today. So Norma, I'm going to direct the first question to you. How do I know what healthcare plans are available to me? And can you explain the five different types of healthcare coverage that I can obtain?
Yes, ma'am. You have your group coverage. You have your traditional coverage. Then you have the Medicare coverage. You have the supplemental coverage. And last but not least, you have your marketplace.
Okay. Is that the Medicaid, the marketplace? Is that the Medicaid plan?
No, the marketplace can be commercial or Medicaid, either one. Okay. It's optional. In the marketplace, it's two different types. Okay. Yes, okay. Ma'am.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. So explain, do all of these plans come with co-pays and deductibles?
95% of them do. You're going to always have some type of out of pocket, unless exception, you have Medicare and a supplement. Your supplement always picks up what the other carrier doesn't pay, or your husband and wife with dual coverage or partner with dual coverage. It's the only exception that you might not have an out of pocket.
Okay. That is absolutely correct. And in fact, what a lot of our patients don't understand is they might have Medicare, you know, as their first coverage, then they happen to have their secondary as a commercial plan. And what seems to happen is they think, oh, well, we have both insurances now. We are not to have any patient responsibility. The information will be incorrect.
Wow. Okay.
So,
go ahead, Norma.
No, I'm sorry. And that's why I said 95%, because although you have dual coverage, the only scenario that I can think of that I've seen in my time where a patient did not have anything was where they had Medicare and the supplement picked up the coinsurance, deductible, et cetera. Even when you have husband and wife or partner and partner dual coverage, there is a possibility you can have out-of-pocket expense.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you something, Norma.
Yes, ma'am.
Medicare. So can I just have, it's just Medicare. I've been getting stuff in the mail about Medicare replacement plans and all of that. Can you explain to me the difference between traditional Medicare and the Medicare Advantage plans? Can you explain the difference to me?
Absolutely. What it is that you take your Medicare plan, the Medicare, when you're on Medicare and you have an option, you can choose a Medicare Advantage plan is what they're called. Okay. Which means now you have a managed Medicare. So managed is the key word. Now you're in a different ballpark. That managed care plan that you select can be of a benefit or it could be of an expense. You need to really look at what you're getting. For example, I can roll it off the top of my head. Cigna Health Springs, okay? Cigna Health Springs, you're going to have a $3,400 out-of-pocket and a copay per day per insurance. Per inpatient stay is what I want to say. Per inpatient stay, for the first 5 days, you're going to have a large copay of like $500. So you need to be very careful when selecting a managed Medicare Advantage plan, okay?
But suppose I just keep regular traditional Medicare, then do I need to get a supplement to pay that extra 20%?
Absolutely correct. It would be to your benefit to do so.
Okay, All right. Now, what about Medicaid?
If you qualify, if you're in that qualifying beneficiary category, was how I want to say it. So there's a group of people that are slightly under income, which puts you in that QMB realm, qualified Medicare beneficiary. So basically, if you fall in that, then you're going to be dual covered and you will not pay anything. There's no cost. You have Medicare and you have Medicaid. So once Medicare processed your claim, it's going to cross over to Medicaid. They're going to pick up whatever Medicare didn't pay. You're done. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're 100%. However, if you $20 over income, you are out of the ballpark and they will not give you that Medicaid. Unfortunately, that's the way the program works.
And a lot of our patients fall within that little 20%. They're over those $20 and they mm-hmm. don't qualify for that. So,
and we see this case a lot in the Hispanic American culture as well, you know.
Yes.
Just touching very briefly, as with Rita, our social worker, we have patients that actually say, I thought having an insurance will cover everything at 100%. And we go back to that square one where, no, it doesn't. But, you know, they're like, well, we have insurance through our work, right? But then they don't happen to take the right time to read what their package mm-hmm. and everything includes for them. So right. Keep in mind, y mantengan en mente, and I'm saying this in Spanish for our Spanish followers, mantengan en mente que cuando tienen una aseguranza de parte de su empleado, tienen que preguntar, básicamente ustedes son los únicos que saben dónde se encuentran en su salud. You have to ask yourself, where are you based on your health in order to choose the plan that you need?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Stephanie, I've seen on TV, especially for Medicare, Stephanie and Norma, about them wanting to you to change. You know how they call you and say, or they'll call patients and change. And that's when a lot of our families mm-hmm. get in so much problems, because maybe before they didn't have those deductibles or co-insurances, and then all of a sudden it does change. So, you know, there is advantages and disadvantages to traditional and the other type of Medicare that you talked about, Ms. Norma. So can you kind of talk a little bit about that?
Yes. And unfortunately, we had to literally fight for someone in that same area earlier this year, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Say anything, but I'm going to give you the scenario. So the scenario is they'll call you up. Oh, we have this fantastic plan. At the end of the day, no, they don't. The plan that they had originally was better than what they're giving them.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they'll do is, in order to get the patient stuck in that plan, oh, it's going to take 14 days before we can change it back. No, it's not. Let me give you the federal law. And this is why a lot of people. Really,
that's the one we need to know. Thank you, Norma.
Thank you.
I will tell them in a heartbeat, no, it's not. Federal law says you have 72 hours to change mm-hmm. that insurance back. Okay. And that's where the rubber meets the road with me, because I will quote the federal law. And within 72 hours, believe you me, they had that patient's insurance back the way it was.
Good.
And we mm-hmm. were able to proceed. So what they were doing was interrupting patient treatment by doing that. And it caused us heartache. Fortunately, we were able to get things rectified for the patient.
Yeah, because patients are tricked so easily because
yes.
they think it looks greener on the other side because they said mm-hmm. they could get hearing aids. I mean, that's the one that always, our dental care.
And that's number one in our Spanish market commercials. We see them a lot in ads.
A lot.
So and absolutely.
All the time and bombarding and sending out letters and stuff. But it's really confusing, especially like you said, our Latino families and mm-hmm. people of color. It really confuses them because they think they're getting something better. When, you know, I've talked to them, Stephanie has talked to them, Norma has talked mm-hmm. to them. Don't change your insurance. This is what you need for dialysis. This is covering everything you need. And, you know, guys, open season is around the corner.
That's starting, right.
Yeah.
October.
Open enrollment November 1st through December 15th. So, ladies, we're going to be getting lots of calls. And
absolutely.
We need to educate our patients because that is around the corner and the chaos is getting ready to start again.
I would like to add this. In the beginning of my career, many, many years ago, it was fun for me. And then I realized one thing, and I realized the most important thing. people were not educated.
Mm-hmm.
People did not simply know what to do and how to do. I literally used to walk mothers through the process to get their babies covered. So it's just the fact of educating our people, our African-American community, our Hispanic community. It's mm-hmm. all about educating them and sharing that knowledge with them and letting them know this is what you need to do and don't do this, okay?
And tell them to take their time, because like you mentioned in the beginning, sometimes people wait till December 15th and they're just choosing whichever one is cheaper, knowing they have all these other issues going on in their life. And like you say, Norma, you never know what's around the corner. And we try to tell our patients that, and I know our seniors are on a budget, mm-hmm. but we still need to buy the best for our money or for our buck.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's part of our group, to help our patients do that, make financial secure, you know, choices.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I truly agree with you. Yes, BJ, you got some input.
Yeah. Norma, Stephanie, thank you so much for being with us today. I feel like I've already learned a lot just in the first few minutes of our program. But when you're choosing a healthcare plan, what do those letters POS, HMO, EPO, what do they mean? And are there any other abbreviations that we should know about?
It's a lot of them, BJ. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, you want to take it away on some of those and I'll chime in with you?
Absolutely. Let's start with the HMOs, which definitely stand for Health Maintenance Organizations. And I'll just very briefly chime in on to explaining what this really is. And the easiest way for everybody to understand it is in regards of a PPO, which a PPO plan stands for Preference Provider Organization. I'm going to put the two of them together so you guys can all understand, which is one, the PPO, if you like a specific doctor, you are more than welcome to go and use him and take your service to them. HMO plans, the way how I can easily remember it is by you are being assigned from the insurance and that plan in particular to where to go, okay? Now, this means that this contracted doctor, you live, let's say, in the Houston area. And now you're talking about visiting a doctor now that's all the way in Katy. You know? And first of all, if you have a chronic already history, how do you drive yourself all the way over there?
So, Stephanie, may I chime in for a second?
Yes.
Okay, so basically your health maintenance organization came out somewhere back in the 80s. And what they do is they dictate to you where you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice. And the preferred provider, you have a choice. You can say, hey, oh, okay, that is my doctor. I see them on there. My doctor's in network under here. I can go. And I don't have anything to worry about. Whereas that HMO, you have to have a referral to go to a specialist. You have to have documentation. You have to have authorization. And they will deny you in a heartbeat. So the HMO dictates to you what mm-hmm. you are going to do. Now, back in the day, you didn't have any out-of-pocket, which everybody took the HMO. Now, that has changed. Even with the HMO, you have co-pays, deductibles, and co-insurances.
So out-of-network means that what? So if I go to that HMO doctor, say I don't want to go to him and I want to go to Miss Dr. Jones, that's not on my in-network, do I get charged different?
You're going to pay for that visit because they're not going to cover it. Their HMO is strictly in-network.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot. I capitalize.
So I don't get any out of pocket.
So you lose the freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely correct. Yes.
So I wanted to chime in on the in-network and out-of-network. Thank you again, Stephanie and Norma, for joining us for Kicking With Kidneys and getting the information out to the community. But if you have these in and out-of-network benefits, that's in a PPO. You have both. Is that correct?
Yes. Correct.
So yes. PPO has both in and out of work, in and out of network benefits, and an HMO only has in network benefits.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So mm-hmm. with the in network and out of network benefits on the PPOs, will my co-insurances or my deductibles or co-pays, does any of that change when you're in between in and out of network benefits?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They do. Yes, they do.
And my plan will tell me how much that is.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So a lot of times, I'm sorry, I just want to add one more thing. So a lot of times, if there's a pay difference, I'm assuming the in-network providers are always going to be cheaper than your out-of-network. Mm-hmm. So what's the incentive to have out-of-network benefits? Just your choice?
Correct.
Well, let me elaborate on that, Maria. Basically, what happens is you're out of town on vacation. You have an accident. This is unexpected. Okay. And you are going to an out-of-network provider. The good news is that you are covered and they will pay at least 60% of the bill and you will be responsible for 40%.
Wait, hold on. Are you telling me that if I have an accident and I'm out of town, that they're only going to pay 60% of that?
What the scenario I'm painting is that you're now out of network because you're not in your local area to go to your in-network provider. Now, if that provider that you're going to is in-network, it's all wonderful. But just the hypothetical situation where you are out of network and you're in a place where you cut your hand or you do something, you have some type of accident and you have to go to the emergency room. They're out of network because you're out of the state of Texas. That the out-of-network benefits will kick in, but they'll be a little bit higher than what you normally pay.
So Norma, because I got an upcoming trip. Are you saying that there are no in-network providers out of state, that there's no intrastate?
No, I'm just giving you, BJ, I'm just painting a picture for you of what could happen, okay? Mm-hmm. Depending on where you are. Now, you can always call your insurance, the number on the back of your insurance card. Okay. You can always call member services and say, listen, I am in Florida. Mm-hmm. Can you provide me an in-network placed emergency room to go to? They should be able to give it to you. But worst case scenario, you don't. Your out-of-network benefits will kick in on your behalf. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
One more question. What does POS mean? Is POS, that's another acronym. There's a POS that I've seen. What does POS mean?
I love point of service. It's called point of service. Go ahead, Stephanie. Take it away.
Okay.
Basically, point of service, I mean, it's very similar, in my opinion, to the HMO plans, in reference that plans, you know, do happen to have the deductibles do exist, but for the most part, you know, they keep in, you know, the health expense doesn't have what a minimum. That's to my knowledge.
And you're absolutely correct. I'll back you up on that. So point of service, when I see point of service, I get excited because that means more money. Okay. When I see point of service, I'm like, yeehaw, we got a good plan working here because they're going to pay a little bit better and they have a little bit better benefits. Okay. So I get excited when I see point of service, and point of service normally is for, sometimes smaller groups will have those. Let's say you have a group around 50 to 100. A lot of times you'll see point of service on their card. So there you have it.
All right. Well, this is a lot to digest. Because
it's a lot of bullet points.
Yeah, especially with the elderly. I mean, you see all these commercials and they said, and it's all of them. It's all of your major insurance companies. Yeah. And they do a lot of this Medicare Advantage plans. You know, I've worked at a post office for 40 years and all of a sudden they dump me in a Medicare Advantage plan. And they say, well, it's saving costs because healthcare is so expensive. Well, I've worked on a job all my life and I was promised certain things. And so they're still like cutting my benefits that I feel like I have worked for all of these years. You promised me you would take care of me and that's no longer true.
Absolutely. Because they're going to pay the Medicare reimbursement on that.
Well, they're still taking care of you. They're still mm-hmm. taking care of you. It's just how. It's cheaper for them. They're going to get you what you need. Mm-hmm. It's just on a cheaper scale for them.
And and depending on what services, Maria, that they're providing, is the provider that's providing the service getting compensated enough to maintain continuing to maintenance that patient? You see what I'm saying?
Well, see, that's another thing. People think that doctors work for free. They don't. They think that if you're in the medical profession, social worker, dietitian, nurse, anything, they think that, oh, we're going to do, they don't understand that, you know, people in the medical profession have families too. Doctors are coming out with thousands of dollars of bills, you know, from medical school, you know? Mm-hmm. So if the insurance company is saying, I'm only going to pay you $25 an hour and you're worth $50, you're going to be more hesitant about taking that patient. Am I not correct?
Absolutely correct.
Right.
Because it's not covering the cost. Well, Medicare is not covering the cost.
Well, do you see that a lot where physicians are not taking certain healthcare plans?
Yes.
I do. Yeah, definitely do. Especially coming out of debt, you know, when you're young out, you know, you want to make sure you're paying it off on time. And for this reason, you know, you might go to and once again, we throw back the community ones in Hispanic and African Americans. And you might go to a clinic that takes about like 50 patients and you're just another number to them.
Mm-hmm. So they're functioning in volume instead of in actually providing care.
Correct.
They're saying, okay, in order for us to meet our goals to take care of the people that work for us in this clinic, we have to see 50 patients a day because all we're getting is Medicaid reimbursement.
And we've talked about in the past that you are a number. Now, some of these Advantage programs that I've seen on TV say that they don't do that. You get that one-on-one time with your doctor. You get extra time with your doctor. But what you're saying is that it's still volume. It's still volume. Bottom line is what, ladies? Money.
Money. So, okay. So let me give y'all an example. Let me give y'all some real talk. Okay. Emergency rooms during COVID. I was firsthand, first responder, first online. Okay. Out there in the trenches. They would tell you when you come in, you're going to be seen by a physician. You're going to get this. Of course, yes, you received the rapid test, but you were not seen by a physician. You were brought in, you were put in a room, and you were tested by a nurse practitioner or a nurse, most likely a nurse, did your testing. Your vitals were taken, and that was it. And you were charged $1,700 to your insurance carrier. Watch out. There you go. I was first online. I was in the middle of it. I was in COVID knee deep. Okay. And on top of that $1,700, you were charged $175 for PPE gear. And it was charged as an ER level 3. Okay.
Well, why don't I just don't understand, you know, we're supposed to be the richest country in the world, but healthcare is lacking in so many instances.
Yes, it is.
I wonder if any of our Congress people would like to, you know, I'm going to call a few and see what we can do with that, because this stuff is deep. And it's like the poor are getting poor. Now, we have systems already in place, like here in Houston, we have Bentob and LBJ. Those are county facilities that help the indigent. But what you're telling me about the HMO and the pecking order that I'm placed in, hell, I might as well just go on to the county for help, because having that insurance does me no benefit.
Well, you're waiting the same amount of time at some of these doctor's office. They give you an appointment time at 10 o'clock. You don't see the doctor till almost 1 and, you know, or later sometimes. I mean, it takes forever. I mean, like I said, those Advantage programs say, oh, no, we'll see you within that hour or whatever. But that's not true. That's not true at all. Ahí estamos esperando, Stephanie. We're just waiting and waiting. And, you know, we don't always speak up and say, hey, what's going on? You told me I have an appointment, but it's 11 o'clock, 11:30. You're going to lunch.
Básicamente, para nuestra comunidad latina, lo que se requiere o lo que tengan que saber basado a su salud, ya que ustedes saben cómo ustedes se encuentran. El número uno es preguntar. Preguntar, preguntar, preguntar. ¿Cuáles son los beneficios? Questions.
What are our benefits? Yeah.
¿Qué es lo que me corresponde questions. Pagar? ¿Qué es lo que me toca como paciente, como el miembro? ¿Qué es lo que me toca pagar? Tercero.
Go ahead, Stephanie, I'm sorry.
Lo tercero es si mi doctor está fuera o dentro de la red. Basically, you know, I'm translating real briefly is go ahead and asking, you know, is your doctor in or out of the network? What is my patient responsibility? And most importantly, you know, knowing your benefits, you know, because you know where do you stand within your health. Also to add on, don't be afraid. Knowledge is power. Ask the questions, you know, and we're here to help you. You know, we get a lot of calls throughout the year, a lot of day by day. And if you are a patient and you're calling us in reference of, well, why do I have this bill? How come no one mentioned it to me before? You know, we're here to help you. We're here to answer questions. You know, nobody is throwing you out there, you know, that it's due by a certain time. No, let us help you resolve, you know.
One of the things that I've seen is that, you know, a lot of minorities, I mean, this is happens with anybody, but because they're on fixed incomes and they have limited amount of funds, they don't even acknowledge the bills in the mail. You know, you get a bill, say $600 or whatever. I mean, some people get so despondent that they just say, I don't want to pay it. But then they have chronic illnesses where they have to see physicians repetitively. What do you recommend in situations like that? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, you don't have the money, but you need to acknowledge. I mean, have you guys run across that with patient responsibility? They're still responsible to a certain degree. What do you recommend, you know, in order to keep everything on the, you know, on the up and up? Because we do have patient responsibilities. What do you recommend for patients that are struggling in that way or that are just ignoring payments?
And this goes in general, very briefly. In general, you know, there's many ways how you can accommodate your patient responsibility by making the phone call. And this is throughout any of your carriers. Give them a call if there happens to be an in-house setup payment plan. Most of the cases, you know, a lot of dental, vision, even medical-wise, there's a way how you can be on a payment plan.
Stephanie, you're right, but I'm going to chime in for you. There are payment plans. You can work something out with them, and also federal poverty guidelines. Throughout the years of my career, I've always screened patients based on the federal poverty guidelines. There's a chart out there that says, what does this patient make? What do they earn? Do they literally have enough to even pay $25 a month? And at that time, when we would screen them, or I would screen them for if they met the criteria, yeah, some of the patients would meet the criteria to write off 50% of the bill, and then they would be responsible for the other 50%. For example, Ms. Cindy said $600. Well, based on your income, we're going to give you $300 credit, and then you'll be responsible for $300. How do you want to take care of that? That's the approach that we would take at that time, or I would take with them to explain to them, okay, you qualify for 50%. Financial assistance. Now we're going to bill you for the other $300. How do you want to take care of it? We'll work it out, like Stephanie said, with payment arrangements. If you want to pay $25 a month, that's fine. Pay your $25 a month. Whatever you can do, let's discuss it. And that's how we would take that.
Ladies, that sounds great because it is scary for some of our patients because they'll call and say, hey, Rita, I got a bill, but I can't pay it. And I'm kind of scared to call them because they're probably going to send it to my credit bureau and or try to, you know, do whatever. But I'm happy to hear that we need to call you guys, try to make those payment arrangements and see if we, like you say, if we qualify for any programs out there that could help us pay that. That is awesome because it is scary when you start, if you do have a chronic illness and you start getting all these bills and you're like, how am I going to do this? I mean, I still need to eat and pay my bills, but I don't want to be a deadbeat either. I mean, I want to be a responsible person, but thank you for that because it is scary for our patients out there.
And healthcare is just as important as having a roof over your head, is it not?
healthcare is just, it's just important to having a roof over your head, a car payment. I mean, that's if right. we do those things, we need to look after our health and pay the providers that are taking care of us. We mm-hmm. cannot stay in ignorance.
Okay. Well,
this is a lot of good information. I had a question. Sorry, go ahead, BJ.
Okay. Well, I do have this question. And so obviously we want to be our own best advocates, and you guys are saying be educated and whatever. But the question, what if you have, you get a bill mm-hmm. and you don't agree with the bill. You don't remember seeing this doctor, or you assume that they were going to pay for the testing that your doctor sent you to get testing. And then you realize that the place they sent you to get testing is now you're getting a separate bill from the doctor, you're getting a separate bill from the lab, you're getting a separate bill. Where do you go when you have a question about the bill and you want to contest the bill, that you don't think the bill is right?
BJ, to answer that question, and yes, I've been in all circumstances, believe mm-hmm. me. At that moment, I request the patient to write a letter of dispute, to date it and sign it and mail it in. And at that point, I have 30 days to validate that bill. Now, once he sends that letter in or that email to my attention, and we go ahead and we pull the chart and validate the chart, then we go in and we call them and we send it to them. And then I go over everything at that point. Hopefully it'll jog their memory and they remember that, yes, I was here. I did receive treatment. On the other hand, if I couldn't prove that they received treatment or something happened or the system failed at that time, then those charges would be written off.
Thank you. Good.
Yeah, but aren't there contracts within contracts, meaning that within a hospital, there may be people that the hospital is contracted to do certain services. So
yes, when
you find that authorization of agreement, are you signing for their contracted parties too? Because again, maybe that fee may be different than what you thought. You know,
so, Miss Cindy, you're right, because you have pathology, you have labs. Sometimes mm-hmm. Some of the hospitals have Quest. They have different organizations that in there doing their lab. It's not always people in the facility. There are other entities within the facility that take care of patients, and they need to understand it. For example, when I go to the doctor, Quest comes down and take my blood right in my doctor's mm-hmm. office. But I know that I'm going to get a bill from Quest mm-hmm. As well as my physician office. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Question.
Maria, you had a question.
Yes, I do. So speaking about in and out of network and providers, what is it that these insurance companies make these providers do to be in network? Why wouldn't they want to be? Does it have to do with what the insurance is going to reimburse them? Why would I want to be in network with this person? I mean, this carrier, that carrier, the third carrier.
Being in network for the provider is a benefit. Okay. For example, having a contract with Memorial Hermann is beneficial because we have something that is binding between the two entities. And I know that if I provide this service to your patients, that I'm going to get reimbursed this amount of money. So having a contract in place with the carrier is always a benefit to the provider of service.
Okay. So if someone was not in network, is it like a cap on how many cardiologists I have in network with Cigna? How many nephrologists are in network? Why aren't there more? Why do we have some that are out of network? That's what I'm saying.
Because we haven't signed contracts. They're out of network because based on the plan that patient has, the plan dictates what the patient is, what's going to happen with that patient, or either those physicians are not contracted with that particular carrier. Those physicians need to get in network with that carrier and establish a guaranteed rate to be successful.
So does it has,
wait a minute. I understand that, Norma, what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But in order for me to be in network, if I have to take $30 a visit instead of $50 a visit, okay, for my time, you know, this is the thing. It's like a what is that show that says Deal or No Deal? Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes. Deal or No Deal. That's a perfect example to this. Yes.
That's a perfect example because the bottom line of it is I have to take. Basically, as a physician, you're telling me in order to be in your network, I've got to take $30 when basically my time is not, I mean, I'm a medical physician, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're telling me I got to take $30 for your patients. Why? And I'm not even guaranteed payment, because on most of those contracts that I've seen, it says that authorization is not a guarantee of payment. Okay.
Absolutely. You're right. But the, what I'm saying is that you always, Ms. Cindy, you always have room to negotiate your rate before signing that contract.
Okay.
You can, you tell them, this is what I need to function. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, when I look at a contract, I'm going to always say, okay, what do we need to function before we sign this? Is this okay? If it's not okay, let's go back and renegotiate.
So what if they don't want to renegotiate?
Well, have a nice life. We'll deal with single case agreements. There you have it.
Okay. Okay. So you're saying there's options. Okay.
There's options.
Okay.
Yeah. So for the patient, if I don't have a lot of money, but I want good coverage, can you give some pointers on what the patient should be looking for? They have comorbid conditions, but I don't have money, but I need this coverage. You know, you've got this teeter-totter. What are some pointers for those patients when selecting coverage?
Stephanie, you want to take that one?
I can chime in. Go for it.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so basically for a patient that has COBRA, understanding that happens to have his lifestyle as well, let me put it to you this way. The best way would be to go ahead and thrive in with a PPO plan. That's the best bet. Now, once again, I go back. That patient happens to know where does he stand on his healthcare. However, in or out of network, we're willing to negotiate. Whether the physician is in or out, it should be able to at least resolve part of it in regards of medical patient responsibility.
So let me piggyback off of that for you, Maria. So this patient needs to know what's the best plan for him or her, okay? So his options are, let me give you a hypothetical situation. His options are HMO, PPO, point of service, okay? Depending on his circumstances, his best option, if he is a high-level person with maintenance medication that has to have regular treatment on a regular basis, would probably be the point of service, because the point of service is going to take better care of him than the HMO would, okay? The PPO is just going to give him a few more options of in and out of network or a preferred provider.
That but also be more expensive, too. That PPO is also more expensive.
Yes, it is.
And that's the problem with minorities. We don't have, you see, when they do COBRA, remember, if you get COBRA, if you've been working and all of a sudden you have a chronic illness where you're no longer to work, that COBRA is going to cost you anywhere from $500 to $800 a month. They know. Insurance companies know you can't pay for that. So basically, you're looking at now, once COBRA is, if I can afford COBRA, okay, then I have to accept whatever's left because I'm now at the mercy of the court. Mm-hmm. So my health care, whereas I was able in the previously to go to my preferred doctor and stay with my doctor, now things have changed tremendously. Okay, I cannot afford COBRA. And those that can afford COBRA are really struggling, you know? So that's a problem. So all they have left is the county hospitals.
Correct. Keep in mind, let me add very briefly, there are some physicians that actually don't just work for the money, they actually care for their patients. So if you have a history with them, you know, they are willing to help you out as a self-pay patient to continue with them. I know this from my experience, you know?
Yeah.
And I can remember.
Stephanie, I've seen that where you have a private physician will work through one of the county hospitals and work with that patient where they'll go get all those services at the county, but he's still, you know, their main doctor.
Correct.
So, yeah, you're right. Some of the doctors do work with their patients because they know if they can't go through the county, they're not going to get any assistance.
There are physicians out there that, you know, still keep in mind for patients of their care. And, you know, it's just about asking, honestly. So knowledge is power.
Ms. Barclay, I hope that you have some of these guests back to talk more about insurance, because it's crazy even for me as a nurse. And yeah, I'm sure there's a whole lot more that can be said about these insurance companies.
Well, we're going to continue this next week. We'll have Norm and Stephanie back. Okay.
Okay.
And first, we'll do a recap of what we discussed today, because it's a lot to digest. Mm-hmm. You know? And we thank you guys. Any last thoughts from you, Maria?
Just read your policies. And, you know, these insurance companies are in the business of making money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Insurance companies are in the business of making money, not, you know, just giving away money. So read your policies and see, you know, what's what.
Yeah, they have no vested interest. Providers have a vested interest, and we will tell you the truth because we want your services. Okay, but insurance companies have no vested interest.
Rita. All right.
I say just being prepared is much better than being shocked instead of getting that big bill like Norma and Stephanie are talking about, or being told you, oh, this coinsurance is kind of scary. So, Stephanie, you've said it several times. Knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, DJ.
Well, guys, thank you. Where have you been all my life? I need you more now. I need
Absolutely.
You more now.
Yes.
But I'd also like to say to our listening audience, if you enjoyed this program, please hit the like button and become a subscriber so you won't miss any of our upcoming episodes. We're also interested in what you think. Leave a comment below or visit our website at kickingitwithkidneys.com and share with us topics that you'd like us to discuss, and maybe even make some comments when Norma and Stephanie come back. We can answer some of your questions.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We were so happy to have knowledgeable individuals about insurance, because a lot of us, even me, I mean, it's like when I get my policy every year, I don't take the time to read, and I need to realize I need to do that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we thank you for joining us on another episode of Kicking It with Kidneys, and we look forward to the next segment.
Absolutely.
Until next time.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. See you next week. The views expressed on this podcast are educational and opinion-based. These are not medical doctors.
Be sure to catch us on social media on our website, kickingitwithkidneys.com, also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.